This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
السلام عليكم dear viewers from around the world. Welcome to the fifth episode, that's right, episode number five of our new and exciting series, Nation of Goodness. That's right, Imam Kareem Abu Zayd is back. I'm back, you're back, we're back for this exciting new series. If you missed the first four episodes, you don't want to miss them. So get on YouTube and check them out on Islam Way 71. That's Islam Way 71. That's Sheikh Kareem's channel, or Abu Wan Abdullah, that's mine. Don't forget to check out Imam Kareem on his website, www.kareemabuzayd.com, to check out his latest thoughts, reflections, and Friday sermons as well. Don't forget to check him out also on Guidance TV. He has a live fatwa show titled, Let's Talk About It. You guys, this episode is so important. We're talking about the virtues of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, and why it is important for us to do so individually, and the consequences if we don't do it collectively. Sheikh Kareem, thank you for being with us again for the fifth episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallahu khairan malik wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. And we're back with the important subject today, the virtues. Why should we do it?
Sheikh, why should I bother? People might ask, Sheikh, what are the virtues of this, of doing this, number one? And number two, why should I bother myself as an individual to do so?
No. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear viewers, and I'm addressing my brothers and sisters in Islam all over the world. First of all, I think it's worthy to distinguish, Malik, between enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, and calling people to Islam is a key, because we don't want to disregard the fact that the overwhelming majority of our viewers are living in the West, and they are living in a non-Muslim society. So I want to remove the misconception here that right here when I talk about enjoining good and forbidding evil, people drinking alcohol, people smoking, people committing adultery, you're not going to go around now and start doing this with non-Muslims. You cannot do this.
Okay, go ahead.
This is important. First of all, enjoining good, forbidding evil, or calling people to Allah, we call them mutual terms.
It's two sides of the same
coin. Right. Mutual terms, it means it's like al-Islam wal-Ihsan wal-Iman.
Okay.
It's like Islam and Iman. If I say a Muslim, a mu'min.
Right.
If I say a Muslim, I could mean a mu'min.
Okay.
And if I say a mu'min, I could mean a Muslim. But if I say Muslim, mu'min, I mean two different things. So if I mention them in the same context, I mean two different things. Exactly like zakah and sadaqah. Again, another two terms or two words that are mutual. Mutual, brothers and sisters, mean lafzun mushtarak, mutual. If I say zakah, I could mean sadaqah. Zakah is the 2.5%, which is the mandatory portion of your wealth, which is the 2.5% on your savings, provided that you own it for a year and it reaches a minimum amount. And if I say sadaqah, I could mean also the mandatory. But if I say zakah and sadaqah, then I'm saying zakah means something, sadaqah means something else.
Absolutely.
وَهَذَا فَحْوَ قَوْلِ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This is what Ibn Taymiyyah says. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقَ وَإِذَا افْتَرَقَ اجْتَمَعَ. If you mention them together, then their meanings are different. And if you mention them individually, then their meanings
are the same.
Are the same.
Right.
Are combined. The same exact thing, Malik, with enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. If I say enjoining good, forbidding evil, you know the top of the line of evil is shirk. So I could be calling people to tawheed. But if I say calling people to tawheed or calling people to Allah, and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, then I have basically divided their meanings. Calling people to Allah, then you're talking about non-Muslims, Christian Jews or atheists. People who are not Muslims, then I'm calling them to Islam. Enjoining good and forbidding evil, this is an act that is to be done amongst Muslims. This is important that we needed to shed light on.
Sheikh, so in other words, if we saw a non-Muslim committing many things that we consider as sinful, we wouldn't address this topic. Instead, his biggest problem is that he's not Muslim. So you want to talk to him about Tawheed and about being Muslim.
Well, first of all, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you're expounding on this, because it's really important. You see, Malik, we have an issue in our Sharia which was debated amongst the scholars of al-usul, the fundamentals of the religion from the past. Are the non-Muslim being addressed with the branches of the religion?
Right.
Salah, zakah, fasting, hajj. You know, there are evidence for both groups. But now I'm really trying to make this as simple as possible, because I know I'm addressing, because those who debated this issue, they really debated it in light of non-Muslims living in a Muslim country.
Okay.
They are the minority,
right,
in a Muslim country. But now we're talking about another picture.
The reverse. Right.
Muslim minority communities, Muslim, yeah, minority people, being minorities.
Right.
Living in a majority of non-Muslims.
Right, exactly.
Now, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam given the description of how to go about this. Hadith fi al-Sahihayn, hadith Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu when he sent him to Yemen, Ya Mu'adh, innaka ta'ti qawman ahla kitab, liyakun awwala ma tad'uuhum ilayh la ilaha illallah. So here is Mu'adh, is a minority, going to a country, the majority of the dwellers of the population are Christian and Jews. Now he said to him what you should do.
Right.
Let be the first thing that you call them to is Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. Look, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he actually says, فَإِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوكَ.
Meaning?
If they answer you, if they accept that from you, if they say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then talk to them about the salah. He said, then talk to them about the salah.
Okay.
Then talk to them about the zakah. Then talk to them about the rest of the religion.
Right.
So again, the issue. But again, I don't want some of the viewers to think I'm walking on the debate that happened amongst the jurists from the past, especially ulama al-usul, that are non-Muslims who are living in a Muslim community, non-Muslims who are minority, Jews,
right,
and Christians, of course, Jews and Christians living in a country like Egypt, for example, they are the minority. Are they obliged to follow the branches of the religion? Are they addressed by the branches of the religion or not? You know what? Both groups, they have evidence. قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. This is an evidence for those who say that the non-Muslims who are living in a large Muslim community,
right,
they are the minority, are addressed by the branches of the religion. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحَدٌ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. Look, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. Woe to the mushriks. Who are those, Ya Rab? Mushriks, people who do not implement tawheed, people who are not muwahideen. الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Zakah is a branch of a religion, a branch, not the fundamental.
It's a strong proof for that.
So I want to say that both groups, once it comes, whether the non-Muslims, minority, who are living in a Muslim community or not, are addressed by the branches of the religion or not, beside Tawheed, both groups do have evidence. But for sure, we have a good ground to say that if you are a minority, Muslim minority, living in a non-Muslim majority communities, the first thing that you have to call people to is La ilaha illallah. Then answering the question, Malik, if you see a Christian, Jew, non-Muslim doing
many
all
many
these
sins,
things that are sins in our religion, don't even address it. You're supposed to talk to them about Tawheed based on Hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu.
This Hadith is a roadmap, it's the blueprint it for how we approach Dawah.
Okay. It is the blueprint for us.
So yes. Sheikh, in this episode, we want to talk about the virtues of doing so and why as an individual I should do it. Why should I bother myself with doing this? So can we talk a little bit about the virtues of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil?
Well, if we begin by saying, if we're talking about enjoining good and forbidding evil and Dawah, together
right.
Now.
One package.
The best of the virtues of this, that this is the work of the messengers and the prophets. Who did this before you? Who called people to Allah, to Tawheed? Who called people to abandon sins and do righteousness and do righteous deed and good deeds? Who did this? So if you do it enough that you belong to that caliber of people.
Right.
You're following the footsteps of the messengers and the prophets. Isn't that sufficient? Also, you belong to the rank of the believers. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the believers in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the believer, men and women are friends, are supporters, are helpers of one another. How they do it? They enjoin what is good, they forbid what is evil. That you see your brother, you see your sister doing something wrong, you go there using the etiquettes, using the steps that you must take, which we will explain and shed more light on in that series, in doing so. Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the hypocrites, which is the total contrary here to the believers, وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ مِّن بَعْضٍ. Look, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ. And the hypocrites, males and females, they are like one another. Look what they do. They enjoin evil. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. And they forbid good.
The exact opposite of what we want to do.
The exact opposite.
Right.
So basically, if you see evil, and if you do not do something about it, you could fall into that category. So this is something that is important. Add to this, Malik, at the end of the day, في صحيح الإمام مسلم, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من دعا إلى هدى, if you call people to a path of guidance, a path of guidance, كان له مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا. He will receive the reward of those who did it. So if you find a Muslim brother or a Muslim sister and you end up basically guiding them to pray, advising them to pray, getting them to pray, you, every time that they pray,
right, you take a reward for this.
Without them losing the reward. No, right. You receive similar reward. That's the hadith. The hadith of Sahih Imam Muslim. Man da'a ila huda. The meaning of the hadith is as follows. If you call people to guidance and they do it because of you,
right,
every time that they do this act, they receive a similar reward like they receive without them losing the reward.
And that should be enough motivation for all of us, shouldn't it?
why all of us are going to come, end up to be in the scale of the one, the Prophet is in one pan and all of us are in the other pan?
Right, because of this concept.
Because of this concept.
Right.
Because a lot of people, you know, they come and say, I would like to do something for the Messenger of Allah. And so, if you really want to do something for the Messenger of Allah,
do something for yourself.
Do what he commanded you to do.
Okay,
because every time that you do what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded you to do,
He will benefit. Sheikh, I don't want to interrupt you in the middle, in your middle of your train of thought, but we're going to go to a quick break and come back and continue this important topic. You guys at home, if you want to hear more from Imam Karim Abu Zayd on this interesting and very important topic, well then stay tuned.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Whispers of Satan. Desires, peer pressure,
leading you to a dead heart. But there is a way out.
Living hearts.
خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Welcome back, you guys, to the second segment of episode 5 of Imam Karim Abu Zayd's all-new series, Nation of Goodness. We're talking about why, the virtues of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and why should we do that as individuals? It's important. Sheikh Karim, thank you for your thoughts and your comments in the first segment. In the second segment, we just want to continue and give the people more of the virtues, give them a good understanding about why they should be doing this noble task.
Jazakallahu khairan malik. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abdu wa rasuluh. In a way, dear viewers, we're trying to motivate you. Why should you do this act? Because I'm telling you, it's a troubling act for a lot of us. It's not easy, it's not simple. But sometimes, if you learn about the virtues, why you should do it, normally it motivates you.
Right, excellent point.
And that's what we're trying to do. We mentioned, number one, that you follow the footsteps of the prophets and the messengers. This is very important, because that's what they did. You belong to the rank of the believers, and you take yourself away from the rank of the hypocrites, because hypocrites, they enjoin evil.
The exact opposite of what we want to do.
Yeah, but believers, they enjoin good, forbid evil, based on the verses in Surah At-Tawbah. And we mentioned about the reward. That if you get somebody to do what you're directing them to do, you will receive a similar reward. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that this reward is tremendous. قَالَ تَعَالَى لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ أي أمر بالمعروف أمر and then Allah specifies إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Basically, the meaning of the verse in Surah An-Nisa, there is no benefit in any mumbling that you do, in any talk, secret talk that you do, okay? Except that which you enjoin sadaqah, enjoin, tell somebody to give sadaqah charity, or enjoin good, or you try to fix relationships amongst people, or Islam. Look at this. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. And if you do this, seeking the reward from Allah, sincerity, that's what it means. مرضات الله, seeking the pleasure of Allah. This is a term, في سبيل الله.
Right.
All of these are terms which indicate that you must do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not showing off.
Right.
You're not doing this because you're forced to.
Right.
No, you're seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. This person, we will reward him with a great reward.
Right.
Now, if you do not name the reward, and the one who's rewarding is Allah, rest assured, it is
huge.
Huge reward.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when you enjoin good and forbid evil, we forgot to mention this, we're listing now the virtues, Malik, you then fulfill the condition which qualifies you to the fact that you belong to the best ummah. Remember at the very beginning we said what? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ.
Excellent.
And Umar ibn al-Khattab, what did Umar say, Malik, do you remember? If you want the beginning of the verse, you must fulfill what? The conditions which are mentioned in this verse.
Yeah.
You are the best ummah. The best ummah are the Muslims.
Right.
You are from the best ummah ever brought out for mankind. Why? You enjoin what is good, you forbid what is evil.
It's all tied together.
It's all tied together. You're not the best ummah because of your race, because you were born a Muslim. No, because you do these three conditions. You fulfill these three conditions. This is a very important aspect as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the people who do this. لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ من أهل الكتاب أمة قائمة يتلون آيات الله آناء الليل وهم يسجدون يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our Quran, just to show you the fairness of the Quran presenting the history of the Jews and the Christians. Allah mentioned that there is some of them, or the majority of them, who did not enjoy in good and forbid evil, and what they earn as a result of this, اللعن والطرد. لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوا. Basically, the overall meaning of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the disbelievers from the children of Israel, Jews and Christians, on the tongue of their messengers and prophet Dawood and Isa. Why? They would not enjoy in good forbid evil. That's the majority of them. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that out of them also, they were people who would pray tahajjud at night, people who race in doing goodness, and amongst the things that they would do, they would enjoy in good and forbid evil. لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. Malik also, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to show you that it is an act of worship. Enjoining good and forbidding evil, right, brothers and sisters, in Islam is an act of worship. Okay. It's ibadah. Right. Hadith Abi Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, wal hadith fi sahih al-Imam Muslim, the poor of the Muslims, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. The wealthy of the Muslims, they got all the reward.
Right.
You see, the wealthy at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's a very important benefit out of this. They used to worship Allah like the poor.
SubhanAllah.
So the poor became jealous.
Right.
Ya Rasulallah, they got all the reward. They pray like we pray. They fast like we fast. Huh? That goes to the wealthy and the rich and the ummah. Now, I shouldn't be doing this. La, look. But at the same time, they have money to give sadaqah.
Yeah.
The poor, they don't. That's what they're complaining about. You see, the poor of the Muslims, they are complaining about this fact that yet they are fasting like we're fasting.
Right.
They fast Mondays and Thursdays. Wow. They do tahajjud at night. They pray all the salawat. But they have wealth to give sadaqah.
Right. They feel it's unfair they're wealthy. Yeah.
Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam comforted, giving them comfort. And he said, what about this? Anything that you do, don't you get a sadaqah? If you smile, don't you get a sadaqah? If you say subhanallah, don't you get a sadaqah? If you say alhamdulillah, don't you get a sadaqah? If you say Allahu Akbar, don't you get a sadaqah? If you say la ilaha illallah, don't you get a sadaqah? And if, look at this now, if you enjoy in good, هذا موضع الشاهد. This is what we're looking for. We're quoting the whole hadith for this.
Right.
And if you enjoy in good and forbid evil, don't you get a sadaqah?
There you go.
Don't you get a hasana? Huh? You're directing people to what? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned في مسند أحمد الحديث صحيح السند that فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله وولده وجاره في روايات يعني الحديث. Any shortcoming that you have, once it comes to you dealing with your children, with your wife, with your neighbor, with your co-worker, sometimes we end up saying something. That fitna, if you flung that fitna, if you end up saying something or doing something that is unfair to any of those, of course you still have to settle it with them. But guess what? تُكَفِّرُهَا. It will be expiated by enjoining good and forbidding evil.
Excellent.
One of the things that will expiate that sin for you, that you enjoy in good and forbid evil. So all of these add to this. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. Enjoining good and forbidding evil qualifies you to receive victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah will give victory to anyone He wills to give victory to. Indeed, Allah is all powerful, almighty. Who are those, Ya Rabb?
Who are those who will qualify to receive your help to be victorious in earth? الَّذِينَ إِمَّا كَنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Those whom, if we empower in earth, they will establish the salah, they will pay the zakah, and they will enjoin good, and they will forbid evil. As a matter of fact, الَّذِينَ إِمَّا كَنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. I see that you, our time is up.
But in this episode, you really clarified, Imam Karim, how it is truly virtuous to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. In the next episode, can we tie this act of virtuousness into the wisdom behind why this act of worship is obligatory?
I think you want to hit the consequences.
You want to
see?
Okay.
Our religion, Malik, is targhib, targhib. If you do this, you get this. I'll give you a lollipop. But if you don't, what are the consequences?
Okay, so
and I think we want to talk about this next episode.
Okay, we will, inshallah. Thank you for your time, Imam Karim. You guys at home, you guys don't want to miss it. You've seen the first five episodes. The next episode, episode number 6, is talking about the consequences individually and collectively on this Muslim Ummah and individual Muslims. But what happens if we don't enjoin the good and forbid the evil? So until next time, we leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون